From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
Welcome into ABQ Connect. Jim Williams in. It's a Monday, so you kind of got to expect me. Steve Reimann will join us back Tuesday through Friday of this week on ABQ Connect. I hope you'll listen then as well. Hey, I've got one of my favorite guests, and I'm hoping one of my future favorite guests in studio, Stefan Merkel and Brian Nixon. And both of these gentlemen are musicians extraordinaire, shall I say.
Well, that's kind of you, Jim. Extraordinaire is a big word.
Yeah. Well, Brian, I brag about you all the time because literally, you know, I'm playing off the, beer commercials. You're the most interesting man in the world to me. But it's because, Brian, you look at, you're an artist and a musician. I mean, you look at everything in the world. You look at creation. You're headed up to Santa Fe and looking at art galleries. You're at the Jazz Festival this past weekend. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're just doing things because you love people, you love art, and you love the way God speaks to us through all of that.
That's right. That's exactly right. And I think that we have a great role model, and that's the Lord himself.
Yes.
You know, we turn to Genesis 1, the very first verse in the very first book of the Bible. We get a glimpse of who God is, and he's the great artist. It says, in the beginning, God created, and that Hebrew word is bara. And bada kind of holds, its root is like of cutting down something like a tree and refashioning it and repurposing it. So this idea of being creative, a creative person, really stems from God himself. God is the creative one. He, in the beginning, created, he fashioned, he formed, he brought all these things together. So creative people, in a way, are just following in the footsteps. They're big footsteps to fill, by the way. I mean, the Lord. But we're co-creators. We have the privilege and opportunity to take something relatively from nothing, obviously not nothing like the Lord created, but we take something and we bring it into the world, be it a song, a painting, a new architectural form, whatever it is, we are co-creators in the process. So it's beautiful.
I love it. You have your good friend Stefan here. Stefan is the owner of Selah Music Studios based in Albuquerque. We want to talk about that in the second half of the show because you're providing opportunities, Stefan, for nonprofits and people that have never had too much recording experience.
That's right.
Yes. You'll help them in your studio, and that's a ministry.
Yes.
You've already said.
Yes, sir.
But you do that with all the professional equipment and all the good stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But it's a great calling, and I'm very happy to be able to follow that. And the project that I'm doing here with Brian Nixon now for a while, we do that on several songs, is an extremely good example of that because it just does not fit the commercial mold, if you will. This is not necessarily music that we create and we will release, but not necessarily with a commercial background or commercial motivation.
Okay, now you have to understand, when I met Brian Nixon, when I met him, okay, so he's head of publishing at Calvary Church and education, and he writes books himself. We've talked about some of his books a couple of different times. But I'm looking at this guy that's he's dressed, frankly, like a normal guy, like a pastor. Mm-hmm. He has a normal haircut. But I find out that he innovated post-punk. Had a post-punk band in California years ago.
That's right.
And I just didn't view him as that.
Yeah.
But you guys must know that a lot about each other. So, Stefan, tell us a little bit about you. You grew up in Germany. Tell
That's
us why
right.
you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah, I'm coming from Germany, born in the late 60s, growing up through the 70s and 80s. And back then in Germany, or in Europe for that matter, organ music was very, very popular and initiated by my dad for his love for organ music, Hammond organ music. You would probably say here in the U.S. I got into that. I got fascinated by listening to that music, to those sounds. And we had local artists that was very famous.
I'm thinking about big, huge pipe organs in Germany.
That's another variant of that. That's the origin of the organ.
Okay.
And of course, I also had contact with church organs later in my education. But the start out was with Hammond organ, starting with the dance music of that time, ballroom music. And so I came into touch with that, and that got me started. I got infected by the music virus, if you will, that way. And I continued ever since.
And let me say that for our listeners, because they may not know the terminology Hammond organ. Hammond organ, to put it in maybe a vernacular that people would understand, would be maybe like The Doors, the rock group The Doors. Mm-hmm. Ray Manzarek used Hammonds and different variations of organs. So these organs on the bass are more what we'd call gospel organs. We think of them as being used in gospel music. But Stefan even takes it a step further. I know later on we'll be talking about the project we're working on right now, but he has this three-tiered organ that was imported from Germany. Stefan had to go back east or Midwest somewhere to get it, and he played it on the song. And this organ not only just makes organ sounds, you know, like you normally, but it plays like the whole band, and it's pretty fascinating. And I've had the privilege of watching Stefan play these organs. And let me say, it is fun. It's not just he's using his left and right hand. He's using his left and right hand on three different tiers of keys. He's using his feet for drum rolls and everything else. So it's a full body integration of organ playing. So, I guess maybe the closest thing people would go, if you go to like an old pizza joint and someone has these organs that create all these sounds and do all these different things. So Stefan has those type of organs, as well as your traditional organs in his studio.
So we're ultimately talking about your motivation being to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ, to talk to people about worshiping God and creating all of this, or recognizing something beautiful in nature, or all of these different things. Now, this is way off the mark probably, but as you're talking about this, I am thinking about an old comedy sketch by a comedian named Steve Martin, who happened to be a pretty good banjo player.
He's a great banjo player.
And one of the things that he did in this sketch is he said, you cannot talk about anything sad when you're playing the banjo. In fact, he has a song that goes, death and grief and murder and sorrow, and he's playing the banjo. And it's just funny. But it's also true.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I get the sense that this music is uplifting and powerful. I mean, the organ is not a quiet instrument.
The thing is with the organ, what we are doing nowadays with that instrument is we're combining three basic technologies and ways of expressing yourself on the instrument as such. You have the classical church organ, pipe organ that you just mentioned. So I'm using those elements, and I'm actually for example, I'm composing for church organ as well. I'm writing pieces for that. We're using it as a Hammond organ sound element, like you know it from blues and jazz, Jimmy Smith, things like that. And as well as theater organ. That's the thing that Brian just talked about. When you go today to Phoenix, Arizona, they have a wonderful pizza organ stop place there where you can eat your pizza and somebody's playing live a theater organ as they used to do back in the 20s for the silent movie area.
Yeah.
And it's an experience because the whole building is the organ. All the instruments are being controlled by this one console. So we combine all these three things.
Let me ask both of you this question. Is it okay for Christians to have some fun?
Oh, we better.
Absolutely.
Going back to our Genesis 1, I think the Lord had fun in creating, and I think creation is fun. And I think it's some of our greatest joy when we are creating unique things. And so it does bring joy. It brings fun.
Tell us about your competition, Bolero de Berque.
Yeah, so
and by the way, we're going to take a break in about 3 or 4 minutes, and coming out of it, we're going to play a segment of that music for you.
So the origination of Bolero de Berque was actually for a book release. Stefan and I were going to create original music for Tilt, as you know, Jim. And then COVID hit and things slowed down immensely. And the book was released without, we didn't do the promotional video that we thought or anything of that nature. But Stefan and I began this piece, and I wrote the basic of it, and then Stefan took the piece and he turned it into a great work. And it was nominated for a New Mexico Music Awards. It was a finalist for Best Jazz Performance and Composition. All I did was come up with the basic structure of it. I wrote the basic. But Stefan, he did the arranging, he did the producing, he did everything. So really the award, in a sense, was his nomination. But we call it a jazz piece, and it has jazz elements. When people hear it, you'll go, that kind of has a little bit of Snoopy feel to it, or something else of that nature. But it was fun. And Stefan, I mean, obviously you spent a lot of time arranging it and putting the layers. How would you classify it?
Many, many, many hours went into that. And you know, we had several iterations of that piece, but this is just a prime example of our collaboration, where Brian delivers the basic idea and I work on that idea. And while doing so, I get 1,000 other ideas and then we try to work that in. And it could have gone into miscellaneous different directions. Mm-hmm. And the end result that we have now is thanks to this refining and tuning and throwing out other ideas and making it what it is, also give it a local feel. We put in some sounds that are unexpected, that surprised people. There's a little riddle in there. Maybe later when people can listen to that, we have a little sound effect in there that reminds of a local animal here from the Southwest and things like that that you do not expect. And so it is just enormous fun. Coming back to your question,
we'll talk more about the collaboration, because I've got all kinds of questions about that.
And let me say one thing about this particular piece is that it was picked up by a public radio station in California,
right?
And they play it, and so it was kind of fun. You know, this is just sometimes how life works, but you had a particular vision and idea of like, oh, we're writing the theme music for this commercial, basically what it was. Mm-hmm. We're doing a theme song, background music for a commercial. COVID hits, it doesn't turn into that. And we finish it. It's nominated for a New Mexico Music Award. And then it started to be played on a public radio station in California. So, you know, it's like the whole idea is like, we meant it for this, but this is how it is. It kind of has biblical overtones. Like,
yeah.
God, you know, we meant it for that, but the Lord used it over in these ways. So it's a fun piece, and people could get online and hear it. It's free on YouTube if they want to purchase it. It's very inexpensive. I think it's $1. Mm-hmm. You could go to, I think it's under my name. We were asked to set up a Bandcamp account, so someone could download the song as well.
You can listen to a little segment of it as we come out of this next break. I'm with Stefan Merkel and Brian Nixon here on ABQ Connect. We'll be back right after these messages. Little segment from Bolero de Burke.
Right.
Brian Nixon and Stefan Merkel.
That was the segment that I said, some people say, well, kind of reminds me of a little bit of Peanuts. And I said, well, yeah, I guess maybe there's a little bit of that. And that's probably also Stefan's performance. You know, what you're hearing there is him playing the piano, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then there was some strings, I thought, that were starting to be introduced.
Strings, bass.
And this particular tune, boy, Stefan, if I remember, there's probably 14 or so instruments. I mean, there's accordion, there's trumpets, there's bass, there's strings, there's marimba, there's
Glockenspiel, lots of percussion. We had a field day with that one. We just threw everything we could think of.
But I get the sense listening to that you two are not after the popular sound of the day.
No.
No.
No, we're not.
Here's the thing. You know, you alluded to it at the beginning of the broadcast when you said, you know, back in the day, you were in a post-punk band. And when I was a teenager, and, you know, we were just signed to a record label, you had your sights on, you know, oh, this or that, and trying to mold yourself to a particular style and be known. As a grown adult, you know, with grandkids, I just want to do music that I like. And if no one else likes it, so be it. But I'm creating, and quite frankly, Bolero de Berkey, I think, is very approachable. I mean, a lot of people who have listened to it go, I kind of like that. It makes me feel good. It's uplifting. And it is. It really is, I think, an approachable song. Now, some of the material or some segments of the new project, it's very much more experimental. And I know people are going to say, well, if you were just to take out that introduction, it would be a pretty fun song. But I go, but it's the introduction that makes it interesting. So in a way, I'm kind of, we're writing for what we think's interesting. And if people want to like it, great. If they don't, that's fine. Go buy your pop music.
And in the collaboration, how much does it help you to be mentally healthy, spiritually healthy to work on these kind of projects?
Well, I know for me, you know, obviously mental health, spiritual health is important, but really when it comes down to it, it's discipline. And, you know, people have always said, when do you find time for this? And and we alluded to this at the station break. This is kind of like therapy, honestly. Sitting down in my music room, and I have a little music room. It's one of our kids' former rooms. I've got all my instruments out, and I will sit down, and it's a way for me just to block out the world and block out everything and just put something down. So usually for me, how it starts is I'll either start something on piano or guitar, and I just start playing around with a riff or a chord progression or something, and I go, huh, this would make an interesting song. And then I start trying to craft a melody and or something of that nature. And then once it gets into what I call the basic architecture, you have a beginning, middle, and end. You have some basic lyrical ideas. Then I would go to someone like Stefan and go, okay, Stefan, here's a you know, the skeleton. It needs now meat and bones. And then Stefan would then take it and do his thing, and which is like on Bolero de Berkey. Right. What did you do with that, Stefan? Right.
Well, let me, if I can back off a
little
bit from that one before I come to that specific question, to add on to this one, from my point of view, you know, I must say, Jim, I believe that music ultimately is given to us by God. Mm. It's given to us in order to express ourselves and return and glorify through worship our Creator. That, I mean, that sounds a little bit lofty, but I've been doing this for almost 50 years now. Since I was a child, I'm doing this. And this is really the ultimate outcome by looking at it. What drives me? Because you asked me earlier also, what is your drive? Where does this come from? You know, somebody said that composing songs just means remembering. Well, it's all been there before in some form or another already. So when we write music, we do remember sounds, styles, patterns, rhythms, and we combine them into certain forms. And for us, it is important that God is guiding that process. So I always step back and I let God, as much as I can, let God guide that process. And as artists, we just want to express what we feel, right? I mean, a painter, a sculptor, or an actor, or a dancer makes that visible. And we as musicians make that what's going on in us more accessible for others by making it audible. I do not have the skill for words. I cannot really act or dance. I have no skills whatsoever for that. But God gave me a skill for music, so I use that to express that and help channel the expressions from other musicians, people like Brian and others as well, to channel that and make it audible. So now making music and creating those new tunes is just, I consider that as a gift that God bestowed upon us, and we want to just share a portion of that with everybody, and I consider this our very personal way of worship.
Yeah. I love something Stefan just said because it has theological implications, and it goes back to that Genesis 1 account, you know, that Hebrew word bara. And creation, I'm looking out now from our studio windows at this beautiful tree. We've got the Sandia Mountains behind us as well. And when I look at a tree or I look at the mountains, those are God's thoughts made visible. So when we see creation, we are seeing God's thoughts made visible. And I love what Stefan said, because through the creative act, we're doing something similar. We're making our thoughts, ultimately inspired by God, particularly as believers, we're making them either visible, if you're a visual artist, or if you're a musician, you're making them audible. but you're taking something that is metaphysical, if you will, thoughts, ideas, so on and so forth, and you're making them visible or audible. And that really is a profound thing. And that's what I was alluding to at the beginning of, we're co-creators. You know, we're taking something that's metaphysical and giving it a physicality, if right. you will, as artists.
You and yeah. Stefan gave me a list of things that we could talk about today. Mm-hmm. Some of this stuff is over my head because, as I already told you, rhythmic challenge is my lot in life. One of the things you put down here is, what are the benefits of working with other creative people? And I do want to ask you that in just a second. You've kind of already alluded to part mm-hmm. of that. Okay. Before I ask that question, I want to ask you about, what would you have to say to somebody right now that is a creative person that is not exercising their creativity?
You better chew that one, Stefan. You better answer that one.
Okay, number one, pray. You have to pray. We have that in the music ministry, for example, right? I used to play here in Calvary in the Battle Rhymes band, or Calvary Worship Band, for 12 years, and we had this question came up often enough. Now, how do you do this? How do you express this creativity? How do you let it out? Do you let it out or not? Do you just...
Here's why I'm asking. I'm thinking that there are people, and for some reason in this day and time, we still have people, I'm going to say metaphorically, stuck on the couch. Mm-hmm. I don't know, and to get out of it, you know, we always talk about the easiest way to get out of depression is to serve other people.
Yeah.
And I see creative people that may be locked up somehow, and they just don't trust that God is going to speak to other people through them. Mm-hmm. And that creativity, they just need to go for it.
Right.
And who cares what anybody else thinks?
Right. Yeah. As Brian said, it doesn't really matter if it's not the modern sound, the modern style. Doesn't matter. Maybe that's not what God intended for you to do. That's
what He intended. So finish up. So what would you encourage? I mean, you said pray and then what would you do?
Reach out to somebody who may be able to help. Most people cannot do that on their own, and I totally understand that. I'll give you an example. For me, I just mentioned earlier, I make music for 50 years. I have composed 700 songs. Not one of them has ever been heard by anybody in the radio, right? Mm-hmm. So I have not gotten out of that. But I found through ministry and through the Christian Fellowship that I have the opportunity now all of a sudden to get that into this worship realm. Why? Well, the last 30 years I made it more about myself. I was thinking of, how can I become a great musician and become famous and get my music out? And I had to learn through a hard process, it's not about me, it's about the work or the art that has to come out. And I need to be the medium, the tool to let that out. And the collaboration with Brian, for example, and others, as I mentioned before, helped me to do that. So now a lot more of my creativity and my compositions go in there. Pray. Contact somebody who can help you. We can be somebody like that if somebody knows us or wants to reach out to us or reach out to me to get this going. As I mentioned, there is another project was there.
Well,
we can do that and we can help them.
We should probably talk about Selah right now.
Okay.
And what you intend for that.
Okay. So Selah is a place in our house, in my personal house, a place that is, we believe, also enabled by God, because it's a great story that I would need another hour show to talk about, and maybe it's another day, and where we do a recording. So that's a studio, which is exactly for that purpose. I have people reaching out who've never been in a music studio and don't have the funds to do that, because recording is usually not cheap. It costs money, and most young upcoming people don't have the money to do that. And that is okay. So that's another important step to realize for the people. It's okay to have limitations, to not be there and have everything at their disposal that they think they might need. That's okay. There are other people who can help to provide that. Our studio, Selah Studios, is one of those places for that. People can reach out. They can come. We can record. It doesn't cost anything, but we do not compete with the local studios. We prepare new artists for the studio market, for the music market, if you will. It can be lyrics, it can be music, it can be audiobooks. We can record blogs, whatever people want to record there.
So I'm thinking
to get started.
I'm thinking there's some people that may not be musical, but they write poetry.
Are they
important to this process?
Oh, unquestionably.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, one of the beautiful things about songs, of course, is it is music and lyrics put together. Mm-hmm. And there's a beautiful blending of that. Let me go back to something really quick, because Stefan, he said two incredibly important things to answer that initial question of yours, Jim, and that is pray. Obviously, as Christians, we should do that, and collaborate, you know, find other people to do that. But I would add the third of discipline, mm-hmm. you know, of the person sitting down and making the best they can make it. And if they are not making it the best, learn how to make it better. You know, a lot of people I've heard, and forgive me, and I know Stefan's have heard this too. Someone goes, well, the Lord gave me this song. And then they come and it's not a great song. And you go, well, I don't know if the Lord gave you that, but maybe he inspired you to do it. Maybe work on making it better. And that takes discipline. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, learning your craft and honing your craft is an essential part of getting that, what you were saying, artist off the couch and doing it. And that takes discipline. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you, Stefan knows this, he does it in his field and I do it in mine. I sit every week, and my wife could attest to this, and I sit in that music room and I fiddle around with my guitars and I fiddle around and I spend hours of spare time honing the craft. Mm-hmm. And so you really have to have discipline to make it better.
Yeah. I love it. Stefan Merkel and Brian Nixon in studio with us. We'll have two more segments with them. I hope you'll stay with us on ABQ Connect. And don't forget, coming out of this break, another sample of the Bolero de Burka song that they wrote. And we're going to talk about a new project and called White Flowers and some other fun things. I hope you will be encouraged as you listen, because these two gentlemen are trying to open up doors for you and get you to express yourself in art and creativity and music. We'll be back after these messages.
I'll do all I can.
That's from a new experimental project from Brian Nixon and Stefan Merkel. Tell us about that song.
Well, that's called To Be Your Superman, and it's basically a love song. It's comparing, you know, I really want to be like Clark Kent. I want to wear the cape. I want to be in shape, but I'm not. So I'm just going to love you, and I'm going to do the best as I can to be your Superman. And Stefan and I, actually, last year, we started a different project. And a third collaborator was unable to complete that project. And so we've put it on hold. And I approached Stefan. I said, Stefan, I've got a whole different project. Using the love section from Song of Solomon, using kind of this garden motif of where the lover says, where's my beloved? And it says, he's gone to the garden. I said, let's create a concept album where the beginning half is love songs, doting on one another. And then trouble arises. Where's he gone? You know, he's left me. And so there's a couple of songs that are going to be a little bit more heartbreak, you know, where's my beloved? And then it comes back. Now, obviously, we're not singing scripture. This is modern day telling. It's more of what I would call a theopoetic work, mm-hmm. and that we're in a modern context telling, a biblical story. But it's much more experimental. So you didn't even get a taste with that. Most of the introductions of this are atonal, bizarre, really, really type. We're calling it, for all intents and purposes, experimental chamber folk, because we are including lots of instruments, a lot of styles, and it's fun, but it's not going to be something that you hear on the radio a lot. Let's just say that.
Right. It has a lot of atmospheric texture, sound effects, unusual things. Again, a lot of surprise elements in this song, Superman. There's a lot of things in there. When I played that to people, they were like, oh, I didn't expect that. And where does this come from? And so,
Do you expect people to be able to follow your thought process? Or do they need to know you two in order to follow it?
I think when people hear White Flowers, they'll be able to easily affiliate or recognize the sentiment. You know, they're love songs when all said and done. But I think the overall concept of it, they would need a little bit of explanation. And then when you get into the components of it, they would definitely need explanation. So that little clip we heard, that's I'm singing it, sadly, because there's no one else. But then Stefan, you heard that other unique voice. That was Stefan's voice. So, you know, the collaboration is kind of, I sound like I was on an AM radio, and then he comes on with a gramophone, right?
And it's a vocoder effect, it's called.
Yeah, and so it's just fun collaboration. And believe it or not, this song's probably one of the more approachable ones on this project. And it, too, is now being played on a radio station. And another local radio station here, a public radio station, has asked for it as well. So though we say, I could say, hey, no one's going to play this on the radio. But then this song, two radio stations are playing it. So that's kind of fun.
It is really fun. And I'm wondering about, we've talked about the collaboration. We've talked about putting something on paper. Now, I've seen a couple friends of mine that have looked at songs and they've done arrangements for different songs. And I've seen them do that on the mm-hmm. piano. And they can take the music from a sheet of paper and they can change it. And somehow they remember what they did. Mm-hmm. And then after they play on the piano for 2 hours, they go back and write it down. I don't know how they remember that. Mm-hmm. Is that a hard thing to do?
Depends. If you have the gift for doing that, probably not. I don't have the gift for writing it out mm-hmm. in the classical style. I learned that years ago as a child when I had my music lessons to read music and play from it. But our work process has a little bit changed since then, especially mine, composing and arranging. We do that a little bit differently. We pretty much record everything that we right now develop as an idea at first. And then we take that as a huge palette, like a painter, if you want, all those different instruments and parts that they play, and we put them together in one hopefully beautiful picture, a picture that people
okay,
like
now 99% of the people I know, if you ask them what kind of music they like, oh, I like country. Oh, mm-hmm. I like worship. I like mm-hmm. gospel. I like jazz. You guys like 400 different kinds of music.
That is so true. Yeah.
Like everything, almost everything.
Again, I'm following it, I think, in God's footsteps, in that I look at our world and I go, boy, this is a diverse world. Lord, not only did you make this beautiful cottonwood tree I'm looking at, but you made the little bush and the weed right next to it, and you made these beautiful flowers. And so we see diversity. And I think creativity also has a lot of diversity. You know, you have genres of music, you have styles of painting, you have different architecture. And I think it's really just becoming to learn to appreciate certain styles. Now, am I going to go out of my way to listen to screamo? Mm-hmm. And it probably not, but I could appreciate it. I could appreciate the rhythmic elements. I could appreciate, you know, the chord changes and the progression. I could appreciate the musicianship. I'm probably not going to go out and buy a CD of it, but what we try to do in this project, again, it's more chamber folk, so it's rooted in the folk genre, but we use classical elements, we use jazz elements, and that song you heard there, how it was constructed is I basically write out the chords, sing the melody, and say, here's the chords, Stefan. And then he takes it from there and he builds it and he adds different instruments. So it is a building project. We're not writing the individual notes down, as Stefan said, like in the classical realm of, you know, so it's more of a grassroots, a more emotional, this is what I feel it should be. And then it's just a great collaboration. But it goes back to what Stefan said earlier, the need to collaborate, to find someone to hear the ideas and help them come through. And it's truly a collaboration.
And also, let me add this. Again, as I said earlier, let God lead through the process. Many times when I'm working on a song like that, I might hit a roadblock. It's very, very likely that I do that. And I'm like, okay, where do I go from here? What do I put there down now? I have this idea, but it doesn't really work well. So I record it, but I don't know. And then the next day, I have another idea and I do something else. And then I pray about it. And then we realize, we listen to it, and we realize, yeah, the first two ideas, they were not so good. No, let's go with something else.
How much of the process is listening to other music?
I listen not very much to other music while I'm working on a project, because there's a reason for that. I do not want to get too much influenced by that has been created already in a specific way. For example, for me as an audio engineer, my hearing, my ears are trained to listen for every little detail in a production. I can hear every little thing, and that can distract me too much from the creative process. And as I said earlier, if I want to be guided by the Spirit to do something, that is not helpful for me. That's what I found.
When we come back for our last segment together here in a minute, we're going to talk about how you consider this to be worship music.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And sorry, we don't have, we probably could stay another hour.
Oh, easily.
Pretty easy. I'm with Stefan Merkel and Brian Nixon. They are both musicians, artists. They're sharing their heart about some very creative stuff. As we come out of the break, you're going to hear another one of their collaborations. So I hope you'll stay with us on ABQ Connect. I hope you're getting stimulated maybe to let your creativity go. We'll be back right after these messages.
Songs around tonight. It's perfect for the flight. Moon is ghost white, and your eyes are so
sample music from Stefan Merkel and Brian Nixon. What was that piece?
That was Still to Be Your Superman. Oh, okay. That's what we call the bridge.
The bridge.
And the bridge, again, it's basically going, this guy saying, hey, you know, let's go for a flight. Let's go hang out. And I'm not Superman, but we're going to be all right. And what you'll hear is Stefan, and that added, there's oboe in there. There's strings, pizzicato. There's a cello. There's a lot going on musically.
Tubular bells, bassoon, all kinds of.
You know, I should lend myself some credibility here. Probably doesn't, but my mother played bassoon.
Oh, wonderful!
In the New Mexico Symphony Orchestra.
Oh, she could have played on this song.
There you go.
Too bad.
There's a lot of bassoon. There's a lot of bassoon. Yeah. So it's that is To Be Your Superman as well. But that's actually one of my favorite parts. This bridge part. Stefan did a great job.
So how is this worship?
Well, I'll let Stefan really unpack it a little bit more, but I think it's worship in that we are taking an inspiration and giving it back to the Lord. You know, it is a condition of the heart. In this particular song, it's not a praise song. You know, it's not scripture, even though I think conceptually the overall project is biblical, looking at the Song of Solomon. But I think it's a condition of the heart saying, Lord, I'm just giving this back to you. And the process of doing this is like prayer. You know, I'm thinking on it. I'm meditating on it. I'm offering it. But
exactly.
Stefan,
worship part for me is not just the song. The finished product is wonderful once you have it together and you can play it for people like we do today here. But also the whole process, as Brian just described, this part of this worship part, we, as I mentioned earlier, we're completely free from deadlines, from budgetary pressures, because this is not a commercial project. We just let it flow, we let it go, and it might take 2 days or it might take 2 weeks, but the whole process is just the worship part. It is a very rewarding process, putting this together, creating, and along the way, because I mentioned that earlier a few times already. You keep praying. You let the Spirit lead you. This is all part of this worship experience.
But Stefan, I think there's people listening that are going to want to reach out to you. How do they do that? How can they become part and learn more about this?
Okay. So right now I'm preparing a website. There will be a website coming up very soon under the name of Sela Studio ABQ. .com. This is not ready yet, but right now they can reach out to me by email only, which is selahstudio@fantasymail.de. That's S-E-L-A-H studio at fantasy, like the word fantasy written with an F, F-A-N-T-A-S-Y mail.de. That's my email address. People can reach me there. And reach out to me and we'll go from there.
Yeah, and you can help them learn about recording. And as you said earlier, I think in our first segment, you said you're helping people prepare, and that includes mastering your craft, which Brian pointed out so eloquently. But you're talking to them about the whole process, and when you kind of feel like they're in a collaboration and they're fellowshipping with other people, it's all going to kind of come together with
them. That's correct. Yes, we have people, sometimes they come as a solo artist, they just want to do a vocal thing. Then people come in as a solo and want to do a whole band experience, but they don't have the musicians, or they need some guidance on how to, as Brian described earlier, make the song better, how to get to the next level. I have a good friend of mine who assisted in some projects as a vocal producer because he has more experience with that. So he's helping people to get the best out of their vocal lines, and we record that.
Give us the email address one more time to reach out.
selahstudio@fantasymail.de.
Okay, so S-E-L-A-H studio
at fantasymail.de.
Fantasymail.de. And I'll take that afterwards. I'll make sure we put that on the website, on the podcast site.
Sure.
Talk to us about Moving Mountain Worship.
Moving Mountain Worship, yeah, I'm glad you bring that up. I'm very happy to briefly talk about that. This is a worship project from a dear friend of ours, Dale Roger, out of Phoenix, Arizona. He lived many years in Albuquerque, started that project here years ago. A very gifted singer and songwriter. And he has this amazing thing that God is speaking to him in dreams, giving him songs, music and lyrics. And he wakes up in the middle of the night or in the next morning, starts to pen those down. And he has, I think, over 150 songs over the course of the last 7 years now that he developed that way, all God inspired, sometimes very close to biblical text, sometimes a little bit more free. But that's very pure, modern, if you will, worship music in a folk style. And I have the great honor and pleasure to be part of that project at times. We played many venues and churches here live in Albuquerque before, reach out opportunities to the poor, for example, things like that we did several times. The music is published also on Spotify and its own YouTube channel. And I've recorded and produced several of his songs there.
Yeah.
So people may want to listen more in depth to the music that we've talked about today. We've played parts of two songs. And Brian, how can they listen to the songs in their entirety?
Well, again, we thank the public radio stations that told me to put these together. And Stefan's been saying this for a couple of years now. But we started a band camp site. So you just type in my name, Brian Charles Nixon, and briancharlesnixon.bandcamp.com, and you'll get a picture by our good friend Jeff Lefevre. You've had Jeff Lefevre in the studio, a photograph, a triple exposure photograph that he took of me there, and it's just fun. It's artistic all the way around. But just briancharlesnixon.bandcamp.com, and you will be able to hear Bolero de Burke. You'll be able to hear To Be Your Superman. And all future projects that Stefan and I do, we will put on that site.
And there's much more to come. We're working on a lot of stuff right now.
Who do you hope's listening, and whose heart do you hope you have stimulated to take some action?
Anybody, for that matter, I would say. We don't have a specific audience that we're trying to work for or anything like that. It could be anybody who's just, you know, feels connected or touched by the work that we do. And if we can achieve that, if there's one person out there who hears this and might get something out of it. Maybe just for a few hours, some kind of inner peace, maybe finding a way to improve their prayer life, maybe things like that. That would be wonderful. That would be a wonderful blessing for me.
Yeah, and I agree with Stefan. I think just anyone listening and who would be moved by it would be great. And we see it as a theopoetic work. We see this as a God's given us a heart to do it, and we're doing it and just saying, do with what you want, Lord.
Yeah. The most fun I have talking to you both is that you're encouraging people to tell us what you got. Show us who you are, and we're interested.
Right.
And I hope people will take that challenge and move forward with it. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks,
Jim.
Thank
you very much.